James chapter 1. As I mentioned, we're going to talk about peace tonight. We live in a world of uncertain times. Never before can I think of a time period in our nation's history where uncertainty reigned as heavily as it does today. We have been through a myriad of wars as a nation, different calamities, financial depressions, physical death, and never before have, at least in my study and in my memory, have we been in a time where it was this uncertain. I've been reading through the book of James the last couple weeks, and the truth of the matter is, when we read the book of James, now, you may not know this. In a teen group, I encourage young people to read the book of Proverbs once a month. All right. The reason is Proverbs is written for young people. It is written for young people. Everyone else can benefit from it, but it's geared towards the young person who's looking ahead at life and saying, "What should I do?" And it talks about a bunch of subjects, but if you study the Old Testament and then you study the New Testament, the book of James fulfills the role of Proverbs in the New Testament. It's very practical. It speaks directly to what we struggle with every day. And it's down here. Now, there's some books in the New Testament you need to slow down and think when you're reading. All right? They're not just like, "Oh, let's just read the Gospels." You know, "Oh, Jesus did this. Cool. Jesus did that. Awesome." All right? Hebrews, you don't just read through that. Or you're just like not getting anything. All right? Hebrews is one of those books you study and study and still there's more to be found. But the book of James is pretty straightforward. There's no underlying statement. There's no underlying theory that he's trying to say but not say. He's coming right out and speaking to the situations that he faced, but also the situation we face today. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Our world, and we tend to focus on the United States, but our world has been shaken to the core with this coronavirus. And if you've been around a while, you know that there's a bunch of other viruses that have come through. Usually about every 2 years we have another virus, and the word is everybody's going to die. And so we react to that news and try to do what we can to protect ourselves. And as we do that, then all of a sudden it's gone. And we're like, "Well, what happened to swine flu?" Well, it's still around. It's just not news anymore. I'm not trying to be political. That's not what I mean. But we tend to focus on the thing that's right in front of us. Okay? I was driving a car yesterday, I was driving a car of a friend yesterday and had a cup of coffee in my hand. And as I was driving the car, I was taking it back to that person because I worked on it. And I was drinking coffee and I thought, "Man, I sure hope I don't have to slam on the brakes because this coffee's going to go everywhere and I would feel bad." That was my primary concern. I got to hold on to this coffee. So, right? But if an accident happened, that coffee just went out of the picture. I'm focused on what's happening here. And sometimes we do that in our life. Like, "Oh, this big problem is here," when reality, it's not really that big of a problem. Or we have other things that we're supposed to be focusing on, right? And in our passage we're going to read here in James chapter 1 tonight, our path in life and our mindset and our focus should be centered on the peace that God gives us. Now, peace is a valuable commodity today, right? If you look at the spending that Americans alone spend on psychiatric help, going to counseling. And not saying these are bad, but those are things that sometimes are needed. But we spend billions of dollars every year trying to find something to give us peace. Outside of that, there's people that delve into alcohol, drugs, anything else you could get addicted to. Why? Because they're trying to find that peace, trying to find that thing to heal, and they can't find it. But as we read here in James chapter 1, we're going to see that God gives us the answers to handling this. And really tonight we're going to look at two paths. Some of you may be like me. When I was in high school, we had to memorize the poem, what's it called? "Two Roads Diverged in a Yellow Wood" and something or else. I don't know. That's the only part I remember. Or I couldn't travel them both or something. All right? But the poem, I don't remember the poem, but I remember the picture. And it was a picture looking into a forest, and there was a pretty well-beaten path, and then there's a little footpath that goes off to the one side. And I remember that picture, right? I don't remember the poem, because the poem wasn't important, right? But, sorry, Ms. Collins. But the picture stuck. Why? Because it identified something for me. We always have to make a choice. Every day we make a choice. All right? And as much as we like to joke about the things around us, right, if you come to a fork in the road, pick it up, okay, that's not what we're really talking about tonight. We want to look at two paths, and we each have the ability to look down these two paths tonight. That being said, the benefit of these two paths we're going to look at tonight, if you go on one path, you don't have to stay there. You can change paths. Now, you can't just jump over. You have to go back and start again. But the ability to change your path is always there. And sometimes I find myself jumping one path, the other path, jumping back and forth. Why? Because I find myself lacking in peace at times. All right? And so let's look at this. James chapter 1. We're gonna jump in right in the middle of a thought. We'll start here in verse number 2. James chapter 1, verse number 2. The Bible says, "My brethren," so this is written to Christians, "count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this," we're supposed to keep this in our minds, "that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Father, help us tonight as we look at your word. Give me clarity as I speak, Lord. May the words that come out of my mouth be exactly what you want to be said tonight. Lord, give us focus and attention. Father, thank you for allowing us to meet in your house tonight. We don't take it for granted that we're able to be here on a Wednesday night. And Father, we know that it may become necessary for us not to be able to do this at some point in the future. And so, Father, we count it a privilege and a very precious time to be here around your word. Speak to our hearts. Lord, be with those that are not able to be here tonight, Lord, and then work on the hearts of those that chose not to be here tonight. We pray that you'd strengthen them, draw them back to yourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said before, peace is at a premium. Everything around us, you may not think of it this way, but if you step back and look at the world around us, everything is designed to offer you peace, to find a way to give you peace, to find a way to promise this is going to help you. This will help you to relax. My watch, all right, I have an Apple Watch, and it periodically through the day goes ding. I'm like, what is that? And I look, it says, "You need to breathe. Breathing helps release stress." And I'm like, "I'm not stressed." But every 2 or 3 hours, ding, and Robert's shaking his head because he got one too. Hey, ding, you need to breathe. And so you sit there and you hit the button and go, and you got to do it for like a minute. And it's like, okay, I got stuff to do. Let's go. But you got to breathe. They're trying to say, hey, we can help you relax. We can help you reduce stress. We can help you find rest. Everything around us is like that. But what does it do? It is very literally, and this is the, you all know the lipstick on a pig expression, right? Lipstick on, okay. How many of you have heard lipstick? That's like lipstick on a pig. Anybody? Oh, y'all need to get out more. Okay. You say, why would you put lipstick on a pig? Exactly. All right. So if you put lipstick on a pig, guess what happens? Nothing. It's still a pig. It just has lipstick on it. All right. A lot of times that's what we find in our world. We say, oh, we can help you, but what we're doing, we're putting a Band-Aid on a cancer. We're saying, oh, this will help. What you need to do, Robert, before you go to bed each night is to have a cup of sleepy time tea. That was the big thing when I was a kid. Sleepy time tea will help you to sleep more, sleep better, go into REM cycle, right? And so, whoa, we all need to have some tea before we go to bed. What a good idea. And then you find out that's not the problem. But now you have tea that you have, right? Or some people say, oh, well, you know what I need to do? I need to go to the doctor and get some medicine. I need to go to the doctor, and he'll give me some medicine to help me to sleep better or help me to be at peace. I have so much anxiety. Now, please understand, I am not being sarcastic. All right? Mrs. Davies and I worked in the state of Maryland at a Christian school and a Baptist church there for 9 years. And because of the environment that we worked in, it was high-paced. It was an urban environment. There's a lot of stuff happening. There's a lot of requirements. It's a very high bar. I was like 26 and I had to start taking ulcer medication. Why? Because the stress was so high with my job. You say, what did you do? I took ulcer medication. And then I had to stop and say, okay, that's helping the problem, but what is the real problem? Where do I have to go back to? And I had to get back in God's Word and say, okay, part of this is my problem. Part of this, I'm creating anxiety myself because I don't trust God. And that's where we come to tonight. In the world around us with the coronavirus, our world will pay a premium to be at peace, at true peace. And the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, there will come a time where someone will come on the scene, and they will promise peace, and they'll back it up for a time. And the world will say, whatever you want, it's yours if you give us peace. And that's what people are willing to pay. But as we look here in the first chapter of the book of James, you guys know these verses. They're very familiar. You've heard preaching on them before. But let's look at them in the context of today, in the context of coronavirus, in the context of financial instability, in the context of, well, we might have to start wearing masks everywhere we go, in the context of, we may be going backwards in our phases as a state. The Lord knows. But let's look at them in the context of what we're looking at, all right? There's two paths we're going to talk about tonight. The first path that we'll talk about tonight is the normal path. You say, what is normal? Normal is not true, okay? There's no such thing as normal, okay? And people say, oh, it's okay, you're normal. They're not being honest with you, okay? They're lying to you. They want something. But what we're talking about is the average path, the standard path for a human being. I'm not going to necessarily make a distinction tonight in the normal path between saved and unsaved, because both can be here. Both can live on the normal path. And this normal path is the road we walk down when we face something we don't know what to do with. All right? You've heard of the seven stages of grief, right? Or the seven stages of shock. And what happens? You go through this, and you go through this, and you go through this, and you go through this. And they say, this is what everyone does. What are they saying? Everybody kind of goes through the same thing, but how we handle it is different. So tonight, as we look at the normal path, let's look at this. First response. Coronavirus happens, and what happened? Oh, no! What are we going to do? And what do? Everybody ran out and bought toilet paper and hand sanitizers and everything else that they were going to need for the next 65 years so they could survive in their house, right? You don't laugh, because you and I were both there, right? Yeah, well, you know what we got to do? We better go buy ammo. Why? Because the government might come get us during the coronavirus, because nobody's out and they won't see him come. Okay, what did we do? We reacted with, oh no, what are we going to do? See, the truth of the matter is, no matter what happens in life, no matter what comes at you, what comes at me, we're not prepared. You cannot prepare for life. Why? Because you don't know what's going to happen. Now, we can set stuff up, and we're wise to prepare in some ways. What's the best way to prepare? Right here. If we're here, we're prepared. Now, okay, let's put the rubber on the road. I can be here, and 10 minutes later something happened, and I just left here, and I'm now on my own path. Why? Because I went, oh no, what are we going to do? Right? If any of you have worked on vehicles, worked on machines, worked on anything that is not hand-driven, okay? Air conditioning, video ministry, okay? This seems to be my life, right? Something happens, I'm like, oh, now what do we do? Got to find a new solution, all right? The reason why we have a laptop tonight is because our little thing that runs the two screens and does everything and for the live stream stopped working, just because. We don't know why. It's 2 weeks old. We just got it, and it stops working, right? Oh, man, what a piece of junk. I agree. But me sitting up there saying, oh, what a piece of junk. Oh, no, what are we going to do? Let's find a solution, right? But most of the time when we face something we don't handle, what do? Oh, man, we weren't prepared for this. I wish I had known this was coming, because I could have bought a backup. I could have had something else ready. If I had known we were going to lose power at the house, I would have bought a generator. Well, yeah, but if you knew you were going to lose power, you could have prepared for it. But we can't prepare for life. But most people, that's the first thing they say. Oh, no, what are we going to do? And then guess what's that? What's going on? I don't understand. Why is this happening like this? What are we going to do right now? I'm not sure what to do. You see what's happening? You can feel it. The panic is creeping in. The anxiety is creeping in. Why? Because all of a sudden we're in a situation that we are not the master of. And the sooner we come to grips with the fact that that's life, you understand you can't control anything, right? Say, okay, you didn't get it. You understand you can't control anything, right? You can't. You can't control your health. You can do things to help it. You can't control it. You can't control what our government's going to do. You can do things to give your 2 cents, right? You can't control what new regulations the governor or the state or the health department is going to make on us. We can't control what's going to happen with the school year at Granite. Well, what can we do? We can prepare, but we can't control it. And the sooner we get that in our minds, we begin to understand, well, if I can't control it, who's controlling it? Now we're headed down the right road. But a lot of people just say, oh, what are you going to do? I can't deal with this. Some people, I can't deal with this right now. And they go, phew. And they stay like that. They bury their head in the sand. They can't deal with this right now, so they go lock themselves in their bedroom. Or they go eat a carton of ice cream. All right? That's my personal favorite. All right? They cope with it in different ways. But what are we doing? I can't deal with this. Why? Because I didn't know this was going to happen. That's life. A lot of times we ask the question, what is going on? And I think it's become more clear in the last 6 months. We can ask that question, but we don't really get a good answer. All right? You say, why? Well, because we don't really know everything that's going on. Yeah. And we could spend every day, all day long, looking on the internet, reading Facebook, watching the news, reading a newspaper, and think we have an idea what's really going on. But the truth of the matter is, we still don't know what's going on. If anything ought to become clear to us during this time is we have one place we can look where we know it's going to turn out right. Everywhere else, we're living in a world run by the devil and filled with sin. We have to focus where we're supposed to. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Turn with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And verse number 3. I have to be careful how I say this. One of the things that bothers me the most, and I've been guilty of this, so I'm speaking at me, is people who speak with authority on something they don't know anything about. Okay? And I've done that. I developed the ability when I was in high school to tell you what was going on and how to work this. And with a straight face, and I knew I was lying to you. And, oh, okay. All right. We were on a team trip when I was in high school, and there was a nuclear power plant 40 minutes from where we lived, and we were going by there, and they put out that big column of smoke, right? And so we're all in the van, and we're driving down the road, right? And this young lady who was in our team group looked over and said, whoa, what's that? Too easy. We said, that's the factory that produces the clouds. We have them all over the world, and they produce the clouds so you can see the wonderful clouds. And when you see a day where there's no clouds, that's the day everybody's off. Oh, I didn't know that. And that was it. Everybody in the van's trying not to laugh, trying not to tell her how much of how slow she is. But what were we doing? We were speaking with authority on something we knew nothing about. And we say, oh, that's a funny story. Yeah, but we live in that world. One of the things that's become very clear to me, and one of the reasons why the Lord has focused me back on God's Word in the last couple of weeks, is you can't find the answer anywhere today. You cannot. You say, well, this guy says it over there. Great. He might be right. He might not. And this people over here, this, you know, department of the government, and this group over here, and the health, okay, and they all have their own opinion, but what's the problem? They don't really know. Right? And you say, well, we shouldn't listen to anybody. Well, that may be a good choice. But the truth of the matter is, we have to understand. We live in a world run by the devil, filled with sin, and they're looking for the answers just like we are. But we already have the answer if we look to it. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:3. For when they shall say, peace and safety, isn't that what people are saying today? Wear a mask, Brother Bruce, it'll keep you safe. Use hand sanitizer, Brother Branson, it'll keep you safe. Don't go out. It'll keep you safe. We're told that is the only way to keep you safe. But you know what? If you talk to medical professors, they'll say, yeah, that'll help you, but it's not going to keep you 100% safe. But they're saying, this is safety. This is peace. What happens? Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Truth of the matter is, our world promises peace. That's what they're after. And the truth of the matter is, but we react with, what's happening? We're looking for something to stabilize our boat. Something to give us peace. Something to take away our anxiety. And we can't find it going down the normal path. Number 3, we think we should do whatever. And gentlemen, we are especially, I fall into this trap all the time. I had to learn, it's uphill, learning curve. All right, it's pretty sharp. when I got married, my wife tells me something. She's not looking for a solution. She's just talking because that's what she needs to do. And she says, well, I have this problem over here. Okay, I have a solution. She doesn't want a solution. She's trying to tell me, hey, this is the problem that we have. Okay, this is a problem I'm dealing with. I'm just communicating. All right. But as a guy, I'm like, hey, I can fix that. No problem. Here's the answer. Here's what you need. All right. But a lot of times in my mind, it may be, hey, that's the answer. But the truth of the matter is we do this all the time. All right. When something starts making weird noise on my car, what do? I can fix this. I got to figure out what it is and I can fix it. All right. And what I've come to realize is that as much as I have some mechanical skill from practicing a long time, I still don't have all the answers. But a lot of times we face a situation, oh, here's what we got to do. And that's what happened. Right? Beginning of the coronavirus. In the month of March, what happened? Oh, we have the answer. Everybody stay home. Everybody, we're going to change the way we do everything. Stay home. And will that fix it? No. Did it help? Absolutely. But did it fix it? No. We step back and say, well, what can I do to fix this problem? What can I handle? And when we look at life's problems and we forget who's in charge and we try to, I can fix this problem, we're going to have a problem. We're going to make the problem worse. I've done that. Try to fix something without actually doing the research and you make it worse and now you got to pay more money to fix it. And that's the way we live our life sometimes. So number one, we go, oh no. And then what's happening? And I think we should. And then number four, I think we're right. This is the path we chose. I think we're okay. This sounds like a good idea to me. All right? What happens? We can't always find a good answer to what we're looking for, can we? I found that to be the case. If I have a solution or if I have a problem, a lot of times the first thing I'll do, not in the spiritual realm, but in our secular world, I'll get on the internet and I'll type it into Google. This is not working. Boom. And sometimes I find the answer. But a lot of times, I don't. So, well, what good is Google? It doesn't give you the answer all the time. Yeah. That's normal. And what do we do? Well, a lot of times we say, well, this is the best I can do right now. I'm really trying my hardest. I have good intentions, but all we're doing is creating more stress. All right. Number five. Well, a lot of us, you ever question yourself? Second guess your choice? All right. A lot of times I have to stop myself from doing this. If I make a decision, this is what we're going to do, we're going to do it. And then about 20 minutes later, I wonder if that's the right decision, Brother Branson. I don't know. Maybe I missed something. Maybe I should go. And what happens? We fill ourselves with anxiety and stress and unsettledness. Why? Because we don't say, here's what we're going to do. Now, have I been wrong? All the time. But there's something we said. We've read in James chapter 1, verse number 8, the double-minded man. The man who says, this is what we're going to do. I don't really know if that's right. Yeah. That man's unstable in all of his ways. Why? He can't accomplish anything because he's constantly second-guessing himself. Now, there is obviously validity to admitting you're wrong. But we need to say, hey, this is what we're going to do. All right? And then number six, we ask ourselves, what if? I have a book in my office. It is that thick. I have not read it all. Don't worry. And the title of that book is What If? And it goes through major world-changing events throughout our history. What if the British had won the Revolutionary War? And they start at the end of the Revolutionary War, the British have won, and how that changes the future of America. Okay? What happens if Hitler had won? How that changes the future of the world. What happens if the Black Death had never showed up? We could start a new chapter. What happens if the coronavirus had never showed up? Right? What if that one person didn't eat a bat in China and we were all safe? All right. But the truth of the matter is, we can ask what if all the time. And we can ask what if until we die. But most of all, we need to understand that this uncertainty, this anxiety, this stress that leads us to question ourselves is based in the fact that we a lot of times cannot admit to ourselves we do not have the answer. Now, that may have been very discouraging. Okay? But that's how we react most times if we're not in God's Word. If we're in God's Word, we're on the peaceful path. Look at Psalm chapter 4. Psalm chapter 4. Psalm chapter 4 and verse number 8. Psalm chapter 4 and verse number 8. Look what the Bible says. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. There have been times during the last 6 months where I've laid in bed and not been able to fall asleep because I'm thinking about what's happening or what could happen, what could possibly go wrong. Look at the second part of that verse. How do we lay down in peace and sleep? For thou, Lord, only. Man, we ought to put that on our door to our house, on the mirror in our bed, in our bathroom. Thou, Lord, only. That's it. Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Not just safety. Oh, I won't get killed. There's so many things in our world today that can make us feel or legitimately be unsafe. But God gives us the wisdom to dwell safely. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2 says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. How do we do that? It's the peaceful path. Now, trust me when I say this. The peaceful path is designed by God to help us to walk through the struggles of life that we face every day. All right? And think about this. Think about this. And I've had to come face to face with this in the last months. My wife and I have talked at length about this. We have to trust God's Word and apply God's Word to our daily situations that happen. So in the peaceful path, what do? This is the opposite of the normal path. When something happens, guess what? It's test time. You say, I don't like tests. Neither do I. You're a teacher. Okay. I don't like tests. I don't like being tested. But God tests us every day, doesn't He? Maybe a small test, maybe a big test. None of which you can prepare for except for being in God's Word. But test time happens. What does test time mean? God allows things to enter into your life for a purpose. Everything. Okay? So you having to be a little wary and cautious when you go to Walmart now, God put that there. You being careful who you shake hands with, who you touch, how you behave yourselves in public settings, God put that here. And a lot of us say, whoa, bless God, we're all Christians. We should all be safe. Let's just hug and shake hands and carry on as normal. We could. But God put that situation here right now. He put it here. I'll be the first one to admit, I hate wearing a mask. I do. God put that here. You say, no, Governor Northam did. Who put Governor Northam in the governor's mansion? God did. Now, I am not agreeing with everything he's done. All right? But what I am saying is that God orchestrates the events of our life every day. And until we come to grips with the fact that God is in charge, we're going to struggle with choosing the right path. We're going to struggle with being the Christian we should. If we focus on living in the peaceful path, the path that God gives us in His Word, we will have the peace and the lack of anxiety that we need. You know what the problem is? We're focused on the problem and not on the God who can fix the problem. When something happens, remember I talked about driving a car, coffee, accident. Something comes into our face, but what do we have to remember? That's not all there is. This is what we see, but that's not all there is. And we have to constantly be checking ourselves. Am I doing what's right? Is this what God would have me to do? This is the trying of our faith in verse number 3. The trying of our faith. What happens when our faith gets tried? It's test time. Let's see how strong your faith is. You say, oh, I don't know what's going to happen with the COVID, and what are we going to do? And what happens if we're like this for the rest of our life? And what happens if this... Okay, but who's in charge? If God's in charge, our faith is in Him, and we'll have the stability to deal with situations around us. So the trying of our faith, test time. Number 2. What's the next thing we have to remember? God can do this. God can fix this. God can handle this. God already knew it was coming. What's it say? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh Patience. What is patience? Being able to sit still. When you feel you should be doing something. Now, we ought to be people of action. Don't forget, God never gives us an excuse to say, well, just sit still. It'll be okay. Just sit still. No, we ought to be doing. But there comes a point where I'm going to fix, and you ought not to. Why? Because God can fix it. We cause ourselves a tremendous amount of pain when we forget who is orchestrating everything in our life. All right? This never became as clear to me as it did when I started to have children who are old enough to reason. Okay? 5, 6, 7. They start to be able to move the wheels upstairs. And you say, go do this. And automatically, instead of saying, okay, the wheels kick on. Well, but, and I can, well, can we? And they come up with all these other ideas, but they don't see the picture, do they? They don't, all right? My son is not allowed to go outside by himself for obvious reasons, okay? We've been working on this all summer long. He's been getting better at obeying. One time I found him down knocking on my office door. Yeah, okay. After everything went, okay, then we had a conversation about it. Another time, I had the office door open, the back door to my hallway, because I was painting it, and he opened the door, walked in, and was down at the pastor's office by himself. He said, what did you do? We set some standards, and we enforced those standards. Why? Because my son's safety is important. But keep in mind, remember our patience. My son doesn't understand that going outside can be dangerous. If no one's out there watching him, cars go by, somebody with ill intentions could try to grab him. He could hurt himself. A whole bunch of things could happen. He doesn't understand that. And so I say, son, don't go outside. Well, and he's good at discussing things. He doesn't say no because he knows better. I say, but I was going to do this, and over, and he has the finger, and he's moving, you know, and he's, what for, right? And the only way to get him to stop is to say no 3 or 4 times, and he'll stop and look at you. Do this, right? Because apparently looking out the top of your eyes communicates, okay, I'm okay with this. What's he doing? He's doing the same thing that I do to God. God says, trust me, the coronavirus is going to happen, and if we follow God's word, when we come out on the other side, we will be stronger than we were before. But God, you don't understand. We're quarantined. We can't go out and not go. We can't have team group. We can't have church. God, you don't understand. This is... what if we do? Are we really have to? And we do the same thing he does to me, to God. Why? Because we don't believe in our heart God can. I'm preaching to you as much as I'm preaching to me. We're both facing the same thing. Can God do this? Yes. Look back at the last, what's this, July? 7 months. The last 7 months, what's our theme been at church? The God of the impossible. Talk about earning that. Proving His power. All right? We got to the end of January and I thought, man, this is going to be fun. We've already hit some impossible things. And then it just kept going and going and going. It's like, okay, good thing we have a right focus this year. Why? Because we don't have a clue what's going on. All right? Test time. And then we have to remind ourselves, God can. Number 3, God knows. What does that mean? And I've tried to communicate this to myself while I'm communicating it to certain people that sit in the room that live in my house. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm saying. Just trust me. You know how hard that is to do? You know how hard that is? All right? And I'll be, when Mrs. Davis and I were early married, somebody, I think we were listening to a message or something, and the preacher said, wives, you need to trust your husband. Even if he's making a wrong decision, you need to just trust him and let him do what he wants to do. Right? And I thought, that sounds like a problem waiting to happen. And then I started reading my Bible, and you know what I find? We're supposed to trust God no matter what it looks like, whether we agree or disagree. We're supposed to trust God. Now, ladies, I'm not saying your husband makes a good decision every time. I don't. In fact, if you put it out in percentages, it would not be in my favor. Okay? But the truth of the matter is what? God knows what's happening. You understand that having the answer is not a condition of being successful as a Christian? You don't have to have the answer. You see, with the normal path and with the peaceful path, neither one of them have the answer. But the peaceful path knows the person who does and can rest in his hands that he has our best interest at heart. And the only way we find that answer is to find it in God's Word. Verse number 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's where we go to find the answers. Number 4, we need to remember that God gives. What does God give? God gives wisdom liberally. All right? God gives wisdom to you like a rich uncle gives his nieces and nephews money. Okay? I've never had a rich uncle. I wouldn't know. But that's what I've been told. All right? I have had friends as an adult who would give all the time. And the reason why they gave is because God had given to them. And I'm like, it was like a funnel. If I needed something, I had to be careful. I didn't ask or let him know. Because he'd be like, oh, I got you. All right, we had a friend when we lived in Winchester. My water heater broke. All right, water all over the basement. Fixed all that. I got it taken out. Okay, got to go get a water heater. We had the money that we could do. I was going to go down to Lowe's, and I called him and said, hey, man, you got this tool that I need? I had a specific tool I needed. He's like, yeah, what are you doing? So I told him, he's like, okay, I'll come over tomorrow morning. He shows up, and he calls me that the night before and says, hey, don't bother going to the water heater. I'll get it on the way out. I'm like, are you sure? Yeah, because I know exactly what he's going to do. Yeah. He goes to Lowe's. He knows the manager. He says, hey, I got a friend. He works at a church. Can you give him a discount? Oh, yeah, we can just write this off. It's no problem. We got a water heater for free. He said, did he pay for it? No. What happened? He was giving me a real-life, day-to-day example. Here's what God does. Robert, what do you need? Not just, okay, here's your piece of wisdom for today, Robert. Don't waste it. No. Robert needs wisdom. He says, Lord, I need wisdom. God says, here's a bucket full. He'll never use it all, but take it. And he doesn't say, why aren't you wise enough, Robert? Oh, come on, this is like third grade material. You should have this by now, right? God doesn't do that to us. We may do that to our children. We may do that to each other, but God doesn't do that. God says, here is the wisdom you need. Not to insult anyone's intelligence, but here's the truth of the matter. You can't get it unless you ask. You can't have it unless you ask. God gives us what? He gives us the faith to trust Him and the wisdom to know what to do. Number 5, and this is where it gets tough. We need to remember that we have to trust Him. As I was working through my notes this afternoon, that song, Trusting Jesus, That Is All. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the day goes by, trusting no matter what happens. That's where it is. When we trust God, what we're doing is saying, Lord, I know you can, I know you will, and I know you'll give me the wisdom to get through this. I trust you. It's complete belief that's the key to being a faithful Christian. And if we ask Him for wisdom, while we're looking somewhere else for the solution, God, I need wisdom. Now let me figure out how to fix this problem. We just defeated the point. You can't have wisdom from God and then go find a way to do it somewhere else. God's wisdom is what we need. All right? It's okay, Mrs. Farley. It's just lightning and thunder. And then number 6, peace. You understand, if we follow the path in the book of James, James chapter 1, verses 3 through 8, the result is peace. What comes with peace? This is the key as an adult that means so much to me. It's not just peace. It's stability. Stability. One of the greatest fears is living in an unstable world. We're living in it right now. But where do we find our stability? Where do we find our balance? Where do we find the ability to rest in God by the peace that He gives us? See, this is the goal of every human being, not just Christians. Every person on this planet wants stability. They want peace. Why? Because it allows us to be free from anxiety. We need peace to be productive. All right? You know this. If you've ever faced something, some calamity, some medical trial, some kind of financial thing that happens in your life, what happens? It consumes your thoughts. It's everything you think about. And what happens? You can't be productive. If I'm carrying something and I can't get it out of my head and I go to sit in my office and do work, nothing gets done. If I go to work on something with my hands, I do stuff wrong. Why? Because I'm constantly thinking about this thing. But if I give it to God, I don't have to worry about it. I can get rid of it Now, it may still be on my mind. I may be praying about it, but I'm not worried about it. Why? Because I have to trust God. God promises peace when we rest in Him. So I want you to look at this. The question tonight that we end with is, what do you want? What do you want? The normal path? Oh no! What's happening? What are we going to do? I guess we should do this. Is that really the right decision? I don't really know. What if we were wrong? What if we did something wrong? Or do we want the peaceful path? And it didn't hit me until I put these two lists next to each other. There's one word on the right-hand side that shows up again and again and again and again. It's that word God. See, it's all about our focus. You want peace in the midst of uncertain times? Focus on what you should focus on. You want peace to where God can allow you to be productive? Focus on Him. This last time period that we've been through, the last 6 months, have brought this right into the front of my vision. I can't remember time. I have never, let's back up a little bit. I've never been a news person, okay? Those of you who love news, I'm sorry. Don't be offended. I don't like watching no news. One, most of the stuff on there doesn't affect me. Okay? You say, you're a very hard individual, Mr. Davis. You don't care about that person in Chicago to get shot last night? I do, but it doesn't affect me. And I have friends who, man, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, the Drudge Report, and all these political, and they're all political. Did you know? But and this guy over here, and this guy, we think this is cool. I have a hard enough time dealing with what I know for sure is happening in my life, let alone what I don't know for sure is happening in our country. All right? And guess what? I did this yesterday, the day before. I have a news app on my phone. And it's news for Wythe County, you know, so it's stuff that, I-81, another accident, surprise, it's shut down, all right? All this kind of stuff, and I get notifications, ding, ding, and I was getting more notifications from that than anything else the whole day. And half of them were, Governor Northam this, South Carolina did this, this person over here did this. And I finally got to the point where I said, why do I need to know all this? Why do I need to know? I said, well, don't you want to know what's happening around our nation? No, I know what's happening. We have people that are sick. We have people that need the gospel. And if I'm handicapped by fear of the coronavirus, I can't do this. Now, please, please, please understand. I am not saying throw caution to the wind, treat life as normal, just move on. You can't. You can't. But what I can do is say, okay, God, it's test time. I know you can. I know you have the answer. I know you're going to give me wisdom, so I'm going to trust you. And I live in peace. I don't wake up in the morning thinking, I wonder what the governor's going to do today. Are they going to come get us? Is it going to get worse? Hey, if it makes you feel better, I can tell you how it's going to go in the future. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. How do we know? The Bible tells us. Okay? It does. It's going to get worse. There will come a time where we are meeting under duress. There will come a time where we will become the target of our government. You say, Mr. Davies, you're a pessimist. No, I read God's word. But guess what? Me saying, I wonder if this is it, is not helping me accomplish this. And so what do I need to do? I say, okay, Lord, it's bad out there. I know it's bad, but I have things to do. Give me strength to focus on the peaceful path. There's nothing that ruins a person's health more than anxiety. Anxiety. Right? It can get to the point where you can literally cause yourself to lose the strength that you have, to damage your health permanently if you're focused on this. And guess what? The only way to fix it is by finding God's answer. Finding God's answer. We live in uncertain times, for sure. But we live with a God who knows everything that's going to happen, who offers us peace if we trust Him. That's what we need to do tonight. We need to trust the Lord.